Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I could go for another drink. I'm having a lot of fun here.
This town speaks to Kraloth.
Oh, Jack's got some moves.
If only someone could keep perfect time.
I love Yarder.
Oh, that's some beautiful hair you got there.
See, Doran, let's loosen up. Have some fun.
How much do you have?
I think he's asking for money, Red.
Can you guys keep it down in there? What's happening?
You there! Get up here! You need to dance!
I don't remember the magic word. I think it might have been Steven 1.
And a 10-foot boat explodes into the room.
What the hell?
Welcome back to Dice Shame, episode 83, Paint the Town Red.
This week's MVP is Chaz, mostly dead, who's been hanging out with us on Discord. Nice to see you, Chaz.
Thanks for joining. If you're listening to this, please leave us a positive review on iTunes or a similar app. There are plenty of options out there, including Podchaser and even Facebook, where you can tell others just how much you're enjoying this show. As we continue on this journey, we're hoping to do much more, and having you share your love of our little show is the easiest way to ensure we're around for a long time.
Seriously, it makes all the difference. All right, should we get down to business?
Let's do it.
So I was thinking a little bit about how this world treats grooming.
Oh.
Obviously, there are important character decisions of varying levels of blood in one's beard and whatnot. But
yeah.
I feel like everyone at the table's got a little bit of a different style.
Cleanliness is important.
Not to Doran, it's not.
No, I was thinking about this though. Because obviously, grooming in this world is important.
Right.
And Red would have long claws because he does have like a clawing ability if he does unarmed strikes. But I was thinking he probably has like the pointer and index finger on his right hand filed down.
Yeah.
Just those two because, you know, when you're releasing a bowstring, it would be more difficult to sort of count on your nail, especially if you get into a scrape.
Okay, so Red can't retract his claws like a cat.
Oh.
No, because technically he's a fox,
right,
which I've got a lot of flack online for.
Come on, being like, you did?
they're like, can tabaxis be a fox? I thought they were only feline. Like, this isn't really...
Technically, foxes D&D aren't bros. Part of the feline.
D&D bros. They're, yeah. they're just, like, rules yeah. lawyers, you know? Yo, bro.
Well, I mean, they're not wrong, but also, who gives a shit? Like, to me, it's not a thing that...
Guess what? Yeah. We're using our imaginations.
It's Wait. A oh. game.
What?
Yeah.
I saw a fox chase a coyote at the beach yesterday.
What?
There's a little den of foxes down there, this mom and a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were walking down around midnight, and there was just this, like, yelling noise, because foxes yell, and it sounds like people screaming.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. And so then we're like, what? Is that a dog? And it's this coyote, like, three times the size of this mother fox, chasing it all up and down, back on the road to Queen Street, and then back down into the park, and it, like, all back and forth yelling at this thing. It was kind of
cool. Wow.
Who won?
I mean, we didn't hang around a whole bunch, an aggravated coyote and fox mom, so we didn't see the end of it. But it did look like the coyote was nowhere near the den, which is sort of cordoned off to make sure people don't
So the
go.
Fox won? Oh.
Fox yeah. wins.
Yeah, one for fox.
Round one. Fight.
Anyway, what's your intro, baby?
Well, that sounded like an intro to me.
Yeah, well.
Tough.
Well, I mean, I kind of brought the grooming thing out of nowhere, and Alex said almost nothing through the entire intro.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
I got no comments on your fingernails. Well,
my name's Alex. I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons.
My intro is this. I want to know when the last time was that you got hurt.
Getting heavy.
That you hurt yourself. We're Whoa. Getting older, so I feel like injuries are more grievous than they used to be. Like, we just took Henry for a little scoot around the block.
Oh, yeah.
And he fell off of his scooter and he skinned his elbow.
Yeah.
Which,
and
obviously,
before he even, like, got skinned, he fell and he goes like, I don't want a scooter anymore.
He's falling off his scooter and yells, I don't want a scooter. As, like, he's falling through the air.
Mid-fall.
In the last second before he hit the ground.
Regret. Just palpable.
Never again!
I mean, he's been on it since, so it's fine. No lasting damage. But, like, the injury is gone now. And it made me think, like...
Henry's Wolverine.
Regen.
Oh.
He has an active
I mean,
regen
better,
buff.
You gotta...
If we got hurt, that would be...
It.
Yeah, that's it.
Put him down.
Skin your knee past 30 and you're done for.
They shoot horses, don't they?
You know, it's interesting too, right? Because playing Dungeons and Dragons, I mean, you're talking about battles and this and that. And you get all creative with, you know, how your character deals damage and takes damage.
You do.
Yeah.
And then but you go outside and you're like, you know, you're in that mode still. And then you, like, stub your toe. You're like, ow, fuck.
And you touch a tree.
I stubbed my toe.
And you're like, ow. Yeah.
It ruins your whole day.
Imagine getting, like, a deep cut from a blade.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, wow. Pain actually does. Pain is serious. Yes.
Pain is painful.
Yeah.
Deep thoughts with Alex.
There's a really cool piece of fiction I saw posted somewhere on Reddit, probably, that was just about, like, imagining being a fighter who, like, day to day gets disemboweled, and then the cleric patches them up, and then they go fight again.
Yeah.
There's all these, like, phantom wounds that should have scars that don't, so they're aging, and they've been cut up and almost dead every single way, and yet their body doesn't show it at all, and they, you know, have all these nightmares of all the wounds they shouldn't have or don't feel. Like, there's that, like, phantom limb kind of thing going on. I could see that being pretty weird after a while.
Not that, but even if you don't have a cleric,
you,
in D&D 5th edition, you go to sleep and you wake up and you're fine.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Right? I mean, there's nothing lasting. Right,
there's definitely an abstraction there where I think there could be some freedom to lose, like, a bunch of hit points and, wow, that was a close call. It didn't actually break any skin, but my resilience and luck are sure shot to hell. The next one could kill me.
Well, that's fair.
And that's funny because a lot of people have said that. And I remember getting to an argument with somebody because they were, like, hating on 5th edition because of that. They were like, I lose 50 HP and then I'm fine the next day. And my argument was what Rob
said. I mean,
said.
It's a depends which lens or how you want to model it or what feels appropriate in the moment in the story, right? Like, it's
shibby.
It's not a thing D&D spends a lot of time worrying about, and so, you know, you're at a lack of tools to
The HP doesn't necessarily mean health, you know. It's your hit points, which can be sanity or, you know, or could be a physical cut, or, you know, it's why Doran chose to have a scar and all that.
Oh yeah.
So all of that aside, do you remember your real, like, human selves, Rob, Alex, Justin, Harlan, when the last time is that you actually hurt yourself?
2 days ago.
Oh yeah.
What did you do?
I
was at my partner's place, and her bedroom, it's like a sunroom, and it's an old, like, 100-year-old Toronto building right downtown. And I learned very quickly at the beginning of the relationship that it was way too low for a person of my size.
6'5". Oh,
no. I learned to avoid hitting my head on it because I hit my head, you know, several times.
Oh.
And the other day I was going to do something funny for Nikki, just like replaying, you know, some funny thing that I did. And I decided to back through it. I was like, oh yeah, I was doing this, Nikki. And I back up and smacked just as hard as humanly possible. And there was an audible crack sound.
Oof. Oh no.
I'm laughing at the perils of being tall, because the last time I've injured, I got this spot, I bumped my head on something, and there's definitely like some skin broken, a weird thing on the front of my forehead, but I don't remember what it was.
Oh, no.
Like, it wasn't until like the actual time it happened. I don't know what I bumped my head on that broke the skin, but being tall is the worst.
You know what the worst is? When you hurt yourself, because Justin mentioned that he hurt himself when he was like making a joke, but have you ever hurt yourself when you're like angry or when you're like trying to prove a point? Like nothing is worse when you're doing something and you're like maybe fighting or you're like getting heated or something, and then you just bump into a wall and then you get like angry at the wall. You're God, what are you doing here? Wall?
That was totally my fault, but I'm really mad at you about it. Inanimate object.
Oh, it's so embarrassing.
That makes me think of like when I was driving in traffic, I would often find myself saying fuck off and come on at the same time, going fuck on, come off. Like I can't remember what was going through my mind.
Too much.
But I think that the worst way to hurt yourself is just by doing everyday normal things like standing up. Because
it makes you
turning.
Feel like a total asshole.
Yeah. And then you're out for 3 days. You just tweak your back a little bit and boom. You know, we don't have to deal with that in the D&D world.
But it does go to show. Like, I'm trying to think of the last time I really hurt myself. And I know I did, but I can't.
Oh, actually, I remember the last time I wasn't really hurt myself, but it's the only thing that's left a scar. And this kind of goes back to what Joe was saying.
Yeah.
That, like, now we're at the age where you get scars. No matter what you're doing.
The littlest thing happens and your body's like, oh no, I'm going to need another day to just deal with it.
And I literally, this is the best, I cut my finger on Lego. Like,
oh no.
Wow.
Designed for children.
I was like pulling apart. Dad-like. And you know, just, it was like a new brick. And sometimes those like corners are sharp and it slit like my finger. And now I have a scar.
Oh my God. I can't recall the last time I really injured myself, but my wife, she was meddling with something glass, and she ended up
meddling.
Well, she was, you know, like a glass French
fucking
press.
Around
those meddling wives.
Yes, the glass would still be all right if it weren't for it.
The French press. She was trying to like get the French press out of like the metal part. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was glued in there or what, but she was like forcing it, like trying to push it downwards out.
Oh no!
And she put her finger through. And sliced it open
deep. Oh,
and of course, I was here. I was at home and she was at her mom's. And her mom calls me and says, in a very calm tone, yeah, Alex, I think you're going to have to come over and run Karma to the hospital. She's cut her finger pretty bad. So I go.
Shit.
And it was like there's this like kind of blood everywhere. And it was like, wow. So watching that, and she got two stitches, and then they said, okay, well, you have to come back in like 2 weeks to get the stitches taken out. And she's like, well, my husband's kind of handy. Like, he could just take them out. So they gave her like a stitch removal kit. And
hell,
I did
that's
it.
That's so sick.
And as I'm doing it, I'm like, holy
You
crap.
Cut her deeper.
Like, could you imagine doing this? And I'm like pulling on these and I'm like trying to get the stitch
you,
cutters
You did
in
it
there.
Though, right?
Oh, I did it. No problem.
Good job, Alex. You're the real
Atta
hero
boy.
Here. Not
proud of you.
I felt so, you know, field dressing, you know.
Yeah, man.
But I mean, my first aid came in. I was like, put pressure on it. Let's go. Stay calm. Relax.
It's kind of cool to see how you react to that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes down to it, whether like you keep a level head, you know.
It's true. Because
Justin.
I just,
honestly,
you know what? That makes me so squeamish. And I never used to be squeamish. When I was, you know, in my teens and early 20s, I wasn't squeamish with stuff like this. But now, I don't know what it is. Blood freaks me out a lot more than it used to.
Hey, you've
matured.
And this is why we play D&D sometimes. We want to play characters that are unlike ourselves. I feel like Kraloth is not squeamish about any bodily excretia.
Being near Doran, you're definitely going to get acclimatized to something.
Yeah. Excretia. Let's wear this human skin.
Acclimatized, traumatized, I mean...
Attized in some way.
I look like a bugbear.
Oh, look, I skinned this guy. I can wear his head.
Anyway, so... You guys have like an hour to kill.
Yeah.
Let's go get some of that fine alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's time to celebrate our new ink.
Yarder is a river town. It's almost Venetian in design, where some of these alleyways are actually riverways.
Oh.
And so the night market itself is built around a portion of the docks. It's got quite a bit of waterfront to it. And some of these vendors are actually in boats that are drawn up to the docks and moored. And they're selling food out of the boats. And they're selling like fine silks and fabrics. They're selling animals.
I kind of picture it to be like a lot of little like food trucks type thing.
Yes.
Fantasy food trucks.
Where lots of shops gather.
Food carts. Certainly. Certainly.
Yeah, food carts.
And as you exit back out into the night, again, it just hits you. Like, this city has a very different flavor to everywhere else that you've ever been. There's a huge population of musicians, especially. But also, as you exit out into the night, there's a young woman who's dressed in this gauzy purple fabric, and she hands you all a flyer. She says, "One time only, gentlemen, this evening, please join us." And you look down at the piece of paper in your hands, this parchment. Mm. You see that she's advertising for this dance troupe that's performing at the Monk's Passage.
Cool.
Boys, one time only, we gotta go! This is the time!
Yeah.
You know what? This is the time, although Jack looks like the Walking Dead right now. Jack, are you still awake?
No, I'm good. I'm in. I'm up.
Kraloth grabs his mace.
He better not be.
Let's
What?
What was one time only?
This thing, come on! And Red runs.
Right behind you, Red.
Some sort of dancing show, which I bet there's some good music there. Oh, and I bet there's some good food there. And he says this as he has his hands full of, like, kebabs and things.
See, Doran, let's loosen up. Have some fun.
What's the name of the bar?
The Monk's Passage.
Do we have to be quiet in there?
I certainly don't think so, as you travel up through a winding alleyway to a bar that is perched on top of another building almost. It's a two-story building of brick and timber and leaded glass windows, and there's a crowd outside that are all sort of peeking in the windows, and this music is just floating out over the crowd towards you. Obviously, the dance show has already started. As you sort of shoulder your way into the bar, the Monk's Passage, you see that its walls are lined with this huge collection of different tankards from all variety of places, made by all different craftsmen's hands.
I love Yarder, I have to say. Like, so far, this is the most exciting place we've been.
I'm so glad. There's some really harried-looking bartenders behind the bar trying to keep up with the patrons right now. There's, like, this magical shield that's hanging over the bar that's glowing this kind of orange light, and it's providing most of the light in this main tap room.
I wonder if that's how we get a drink. And Red shoots an arrow at the shield to make it go boom. Yeah.
Everyone cheers. The whole bar just erupts into... raucous applause.
Hey, I guess that was the right thing to do.
People love it during the middle of a show when you make a big noise off stage.
The show has started, but no one gives a shit about the dancing too much.
Yeah, like, I don't think it's like a quiet, it's not a Waterdeep show where you sit hands folded and listen. I think it's more like a...
We're dancing whether you're paying attention or not.
Yeah.
It's not at all stuffy. People are whirling around and like...
You know what I'm almost picturing? Like the Birdcage, like drags.
Yeah.
Like drag.
Absolutely.
Really raucous and like really lively.
Yes.
And
this, like, is a drag ball.
Oh, that'd be so fucking cool.
Except they're drag kings, right? Because the majority of the population of Yarder is female.
Oh, that's
so
right.
These chicks are all butched out and
that's so cool.
Voguing all over the damn place.
I love Yarder too.
And I feel like they're dancing not on a stage, but just a bunch of tables that have been pushed together. Like, and the patrons are sitting at the table still.
Intermingling with the crowd. It's kind of like a comedy performance as well. Like individual dancers, performers are interacting with the crowd.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Come on, Doran.
Yeah.
This is totally the sort of show that would like single out, hey, you look like the weird, awkward person by the door. You get up here and do a thing. Like,
yeah,
I could just see
getting pulled into a thing, feeling very uncomfortable.
I feel like there's a drag king that's like on top of the bar with a heavy British accent.
Yeah.
That goes, you there, over at the doorway, get up here, you need to dance.
Yeah, and we're all screaming.
And then a bunch of people like lift Jack and like crowd surf him towards
yes!
the dance floor. You're like being manhandled.
Do you
like,
end up participating?
Oh, Jack's got some moves. He can dance, actually. Like, he's not the most dexterous person, but he's also able to like, you know, hold his own just a little bit. And there's enough loopiness going on in his brain at the moment. Yeah, that I think he gets caught up in it. I don't know that this hour, I think, evaporates for him. And
yeah,
I love that.
Drink. Doran and Red keep pushing shots at him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Red's up on a table as soon as possible, dancing around people, not understanding where he is or what this place is, but just loving the energy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Doran is mingling with tons of people and like really getting into some groovy conversation with some drag kings.
And you guys lose sight of Kraloth. Kraloth kind of disappears for a while and you have no idea where he is later or something. Red, you are like a little tipsy, you've had some shots, and then you feel a presence beside you and you turn and you see a big hulking figure in armor, dark skin, and where it was a bald head, there's just this beautiful wig that is just like cascading down, and he's got like blush on his cheeks.
It's
and,
ombre.
Like,
yeah.
His eyebrows have been done.
Kraloth, you're beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Red. I could go for another drink. I'm having a lot of fun here.
Here, I got two on me. And I hand two bottles that I've been holding of like...
Before that happens, I picture Kraloth. We just have like a brief flash of a vignette of Kraloth. You've made your way into the kitchen and you're standing beside one of the chefs with a glass of whiskey in your hand and you're just watching him work and the two of you are chatting. He's like braising eel and dried dragon fruit together and the two of you are just
incredible,
like over clouds of billowing steam, hearing this wild sound of the party in the background. You guys are having like a kind of meditative chat about like the pros and cons of roasting versus braising eel.
Yeah.
But I also picture the cook being like real natural, like a natural. You know when you see someone who is just oozing skill?
Yeah.
They toss salt like it's nothing, but it perfectly coats the fucking roast.
He's not even paying attention. He's having more of a conversation than he is.
Exactly.
Everything that feels about this town is so like natural. Like everyone just is perfect at what they, like not perfect, but what they do, but
they're
talented.
Doing what they are meant to be doing.
Everyone's just playing jazz.
Jazz. It's the definition of jazz. Yeah. It's like the pumped up version of the Dock Ward in an entire city.
Without like the pretension, I think.
Without the pretension.
And I think there's one moment where Kraloth is very confused. Like he's, this cook is going around and he's grabbing different things and throwing them in. Then he stops for a second, like mid thought, and he grabs some paprika and he throws it in. And Kraloth's like, oh, why'd you put that in there? That normally wouldn't go with that. And he's like, because I felt like it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not following some sort of... No. Just felt like it.
That's good.
Just like a very simple, like, it just felt right tonight, you know?
Love it.
I also love the idea that Yardar is a seafaring town, or it's like a... Sorry, not a...
It's a river town. It's a barge town.
Right. So it kind of makes sense that like a lot of them come down to Waterdeep and bring that energy from Yardar to the Dock Ward of Waterdeep, which is why elements of the Dock Ward have a similar feel.
That's,
you know what I mean?
I like how you put that. You really put that into context.
And some of the same people work in both towns.
Exactly.
It's like a seasonal
thing.
They're
going up and down. So like the Dock Ward over years has become more jazz music. Musical because Yardar ships
the
are coming
influence.
In and out.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Mm.
And then Kraloth comes out and joins it. But wait, how did he actually get the wig though?
Yeah. Kraloth definitely is feeling the whiskey. And he walks out and meets some very interesting people. And everything's just kind of colorful and blurry. And then the next thing he knows,
Kraloth goes to look for the bathroom and ends up like going through the backstage, like the prep
Come on, love, you need to dress up tonight. Yes, get in your real and feel it.
Oh, that's some beautiful hair you got there.
Feel it from your heart.
The Yarder accent is music.
You look good. You came already dressed up.
Who has the highest passive perception? That's Red and Kraloth, right?
I have 20.
So after you and Red have this chat where we see Kraloth's new makeover, the music changes, the dance number changes, the dancers change, and you are swept away into the crowd for another 10 minutes. At which point, Kraloth and Red, you both catch sight of a woman in a emerald green cloak trying to get one of her hands into Doran's belt pouch as he's whirling around the dance floor. She's like his dance partner for a time.
Yeah.
But you see her trying to like pickpocket him essentially.
Oh,
Doran's totally oblivious to it.
Red spots it and he's just like, looks to Kraloth. Let's do the old one too. And Red, very obviously, but not to her, kind of walks around the crowd and you can see him getting on all fours to perch himself behind her.
Yeah.
As if for Kraloth to like push her over. But like really drunkenly. And he's like, the old one too. I got this. And he walks towards her and gets down on all fours.
How stealthy is Red to do that? That's the...
Not stealthy.
Kraloth stands up and he sees Red go down and he kind of sashays towards this woman and grabs Doran on the shoulder and pulls him back.
Hey.
And then with his like beautiful, like glowing hair,
luscious,
and rosy cheeks,
he's going to just stare down this woman, make sure he's got full eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go, wagging a finger at her. And then he's going to cast command on her to leave the bar.
Okay. Do I have to make a save?
Let me just double check quickly.
Just so you know, Red is still behind her on all fours. Yeah. And he's like looking towards you as you're doing this. He's like giving a thumbs up. He's like, push her. I got to push, push.
Wisdom.
13.
So she fails.
Yeah, the woman's eyes do that like a little spiral.
Yeah.
And she promptly exits and disappears into the night.
And Red stands up. Why didn't you push her? I was in the perfect position. You just had to push her over.
I was having fun dancing. Why did you tell her to leave?
You got to watch those pockets there, Doran.
Huh?
And he looks down at his little pouch and it's like loosened.
Yeah, Doran, you had some pocket change in your pocket, as changes want to be. And you realize she's probably stolen like a gold piece or two from you.
That filthy thief. Oh, well.
She probably needs it more than you.
Good thing you guys are watching me.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Oh, Kraloth pushed this girl over. I was on all fours, and she left. We got her.
Jack, it's at this time that you realize you guys should probably be heading back to the tattoo parlor.
If only someone could keep perfect time.
There's like a mental alarm set off in his head. You know, he finishes the dance, stumbles over. It's time.
Well,
it's the time, though.
Well,
all right.
But I'm having fun.
As this woman leaves, as she's like promptly leaving, like, can I see her like leaving the bar? I've got an idea. And I gesture for them to follow.
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's
okay.
She's gone.
Besides, right. If you tried that, Red would just walk behind her and get on all fours again. Mm-hmm. You're like, I have a question for, and Red just like, and he like gets down all fours.
Doran almost got robbed and we're going to be careful. And Red tucks the bag of holding in his front and he does a minor illusion of a bag of holding on his back, but it's like
really shitty. It's like low res, you know, 1994 video game graphics.
Pixelated.
Yeah,
it's like blurry.
Polygon.
I'm just picturing, but there are a stack of coins like drawn on the bag. It's just
coins, but it's spelt wrong.
A dollar
with a K.
Sign.
K-O-I-N-S.
And when you say watch your pockets, I feel like there's this like quick little montage of like shots of like everything tightening. Doran's belt.
Like Batman,
Army of Darkness.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Everything's
okay, nothing's getting stolen off me now.
Batten down the hatches.
And then it zooms out and he's wearing a big gold chain around his neck. I'm good now.
Someone's walking off with Orc Splitter.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go then. If we're up to time is up, let's go.
Yeah.
And Red walks like behind you guys with four shots. He's holding like four shots out of the bar.
I feel like we all stumble out of this bar in a much better mood than we even entered.
It's getting real dark now. We're coming up on like midnight probably, but the city shows no signs of slowing.
The tattooing hour.
It's the tattooing hour.
You guys want to get a tattoo? 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 He says, pointing to each of you.
Did we already get a tattoo, though?
No. And Red looks to his shoulder and it's gone. Oh. He's like, oh, it looks at the other shoulder and he moved it. He's like, all right.
There's like this shaved patch, nothing there.
Hey, guys, look at this. And the tattoo spreads all over his body. And actually, he looks really menacing because it's still intricate. Hmm. Like, there's still skin underneath it, but it would change this, like, the actual light skin underneath.
Does it color your hair?
No. So I still have, like, red hair, but underneath, instead of, like, that sort of pinkish flesh hue that tone makes it all seem brighter, I suddenly look with red eyes, like this dark webbed skin underneath and red hair. I suddenly look like demonic.
Yeah.
And then I quickly shrink it back down.
You're like Darth Maul with hair.
For real?
Gross. Yeah.
Like a furry Darth Maul.
What's a Darth Maul?
It's a big hammer.
It's disappointment.
Place to go shopping.
With lights off.
You head back to the tattoo parlor where Burkhart has set up some room divider type screens, like those folding screens for a bit of privacy.
Is that him? I point to the guy we've already talked to.
That's the tattoo artist. I suppose we just kind of hang around until we...
I got this. And I walk over and I get on all fours behind him and I just go shh to the guys. Red's drunk.
The tattoo parlor is darker now than it was before. There's no other patrons inside, but you do see that the patron Burke was probably talking about is getting disrobed in the back. He's taking off a shirt and he's showing like a darkly muscled torso that's crisscrossed with pink scars. And he sort of turns his head and you get this like severe profile of a large nose and a strong jaw. He's got a shaved head and he like takes off his breeches. He's down his like underpants.
Torn who?
He's like beefcake style, like big guy. He rivals Kraloth for size probably. He's about 6'5". And he pours himself onto a stool and just sits there patiently. And the tattoo artist beckons you guys inside.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we step in and kind of crowd around.
Good to see you again.
So, this is Bros Gelny.
What's his name?
Bros.
Krayless.
What's his name?
This is Bros Gelny. Bros, was telling you about these guys.
Bros looks up at you. He's got these startling amber-colored eyes, like a honey brown color.
So, what is it I can do for you, gentlemen?
Red looks longingly towards Kraloth for the symbol for him to get behind him on all fours. He's like nodding, waiting for approval.
We're looking for... Well, we found one of these, and I'll snap my fingers and have this coin float in the air above my hand. We're just trying to figure out what it's all about. Hoping you could point us in the right direction.
He extends a hand towards your illusion and kind of like spins it almost, like interacts with the image that you've created to like look at both sides.
Right.
Urius coin.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Can't say as I know it, but I do know a guy. Listen, there's someone who walks in the shadows. Someone who knows a little bit about everything here. Someone who knows how to get what needs to be gotten, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean.
He keeps his own time, keeps to the shadows. But, I can see if he'll meet you. Maybe tomorrow morning.
Hmm. Why would you do this for us?
Money. Let's put it that way.
How much do you have?
I think he's asking for money, Red.
Why does he need money? How much do you want?
I'll take 10.
10,000?
This cat's had a little too much to drink.
What cat?
Yeah, we got you covered. Why don't we settle up this tattooing session for you? You don't worry about it. That's on us, and we'll meet you tomorrow morning. Where do you want to meet?
Unless it's a magical tattoo.
Yeah.
That'll be 12,000 gold.
I'm not going to go anywhere near the guy, but I'll see to it that he meets you.
Hmm.
Down at the docks tomorrow morning, first light.
Does this guy make you uneasy?
Nah, it's just... I can't vouch for you.
All right.
Thank you. That I appreciate it.
Don't say that you heard it from me.
I didn't hear nothing from nobody, but I'll be by the docks at first light.
I don't even remember your name. We'll meet you on the dock tomorrow, bud.
Red wanders off.
So this interesting, potentially questionable man has given you a place and a time to meet, to learn about this coin. And you've got about 6 hours before you have to be there. We'll call it around 8.
I'd love to find a bed.
Yeah.
Now let's party all night. Sleep into tomorrow.
You know,
Jack needs some rest, that's for sure.
I would love to, but I think there's what I want, and then there's the smarter thing to do, and that would be for me to get some rest.
Come on, Kraloth, we can tear the night apart.
And Kraloth brushes a strand of wig hair out of his face and says, I might be down for a few more drinks.
I was expecting you to be like, no, go to bed, Red.
Voice of reason. This town speaks to Kraloth in a special way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back myself into a corner. All right.
Let's do it.
Won't be the last time, I guarantee you. There's a inn nearby called the Merry Serpent.
Okay.
That's got a beautiful painting of a sea serpent on the side of it, kind of mural style. And it looks clean, but it's not jam-packed with revelry that you guys imagine you'll be able to get some decent sleep in there. You're welcomed by a woman, an elf.
Good evening.
Hello.
Do the doors lock here?
Do you allow hunt lords?
What?
I got it. Don't worry, Dorian.
Do your doors lock?
What?
Do your doors lock?
Of course.
Your bedroom doors.
I feel like Red's just eating a pretzel. No one knows where he got it from, but for some reason he's eating this giant pretzel, like giant. Like two-hand pretzel, just in the back of these three.
She's like, yes, the doors lock. What? I'm sorry. Are you staying here this evening?
Well, we'd like a room.
With four beds that could be pushed together.
And I put a hand hard on Doran's shoulder in support and like, nod.
That's all we need from the night, with four beds that can be pushed together.
Yeah.
I definitely intend for Jack to put up the Liamon's tiny hut around the four beds pushed together such that they all fit within the 10-foot whatever.
Nice. Smart. That's wicked.
He's needing that extra security tonight.
That's actually a brilliant idea. I never thought about that. Oh, this room's empty.
It's like a bubble though, right?
Yeah.
I love that someone in the room next is just sleeping and then there's like whoom, half bubble like cuts into their room and they're like,
yeah.
What the fuck? And it's like this bright purple glowing.
I almost feel like it's become a ritual to be like, Red, what color should it be tonight?
Blarple.
It's accidentally encompassed like some of the belongings of the occupant of the room below. Like their coat rack is now
them.
In
Liam's. You can't get them?
You can't
it's like
get
trying
them.
To leave. Ow. Ow.
Wizards are rude. Fuck.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think Red follows you guys up. And he's just like, yeah, I want to make sure the room's good. And then Red crawls into a bed. He's like, just want to make sure it's comfortable for later. And he's asleep.
And Kraloth laughs as he begins to get ready for bed and parts with his new look for the evening.
I feel like he puts it on something well. And like preens it a little bit. You know, like he like sets it on.
The bedpost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But keeps it nice.
He's kind of fascinated with this hair. I've never had hair before, Dorian. I've never had it.
Really? That's right.
I'm kind of envious of that beard of yours. I think it's called alopecia.
Oh.
That's okay.
Oh,
there's nothing wrong with it. What? But it wouldn't be. Would it be called alopecia?
I mean,
magapecia.
Alopecia is hair loss, having, you know, clinical no hair.
Yeah. He just was born with it. There's nothing wrong with it. He's still beautiful.
Absolutely.
Really?
Awesome. So it's like, I mean, Jack would know. It's like 15 minutes to dawn.
And sits bolt upright. Oh, it's time. We should go. It dismisses the tiny hut. Lets those poor people get their stuff.
Mm-hmm. How's Red feeling first thing in the morning?
Red's like not even moving. He rolls over. He's like, where the fuck are we?
Hey, come on, buddy. We got to go.
Nah, I'm okay.
Hey, remember?
We got to meet a mysterious stranger by the docks.
Kraloth, please cast Cure Wounds on me. I'm wounded.
Where is the wound? Can you show me?
Everywhere.
And yeah, Red just rolls out and flops and like stretches very cat-like. And he acts very cat-like in a hungover morning.
Mm.
You, in an attempt to get him excited about something and get his mind off of his hangover, Kraloth says, hey, you bought something last night. Something that you were really excited about. What was that?
Oh, yeah, this. And he pulls out the folding boat. I don't remember the magic word. I think it might have been Stephen 1.
And a 10-foot boat explodes into the room.
What the hell?
It's like on top of Doran.
Oh, God.
Why don't you put the boat away?
Okay, hold on.
Go.
It's heavy. This is ridiculous.
Everyone just take a second. There are two command words. One of them makes it fold up. One of them makes it goes 24 feet larger. And I don't remember which is which.
There's knocking on the door.
Can you guys keep it down in there? What's happening?
Hold on 1 second. It's either Steven with the next number or Steven with the number after the next number. We need to figure out what it is. Probably Steven, the number after the next number.
Red.
Vote.
I understand that they happened in an order. Do you think you would have given the commands Steven 1 and then...
Don't say it.
3 and then 2.
You're right.
Would you have gone out of order?
No. Steven 3!
And the boat folds back up. In a tiny little box. And I quickly tuck it away as the door opens.
What the hell is that?
It's a boat, Doran.
A boat?
Yeah.
What do we need a boat for?
We're late. We got to get out the door. Everybody get your stuff on. We got to go. Whoa. It's almost done.
There's many uses for a boat.
Come on, kids.
Yeah, Red is woken now. He gets dressed quickly. I feel like the proprietor is out in the hall banging on the door.
Yeah.
They're just getting dressed. They'll be right out in a minute. Jack's standing with his stuff outside.
Red gives him 20 gold. Sorry.
There's like a hole where the aft was.
Yeah. Like, and the guy who had the bubble in his room is like leaning into it. Like, what the fuck is this?
And then you can hear other people downstairs. I can't get my coat. And then next person next door is like, where the hell did all my things go?
And then everyone files out and Red comes last and he's like, you gotta get some of these boats out of your rooms. And we all leave.
There's gotta be that beat where this poor elven woman was just like, adventurers.
Yeah.
Just like sweeping up the...
It's like wistfully thinking of closing this whole place down.
Pirates and thieves, sure, but fucking adventurers, stay out. Charge a premium.
As we leave, Doran looks up and sees the sign that he missed on the way in that says, no magic.
No magic, no axes, no familiars, no service.
And then someone's scribbling on, no tabaxis, circling it.
Shoots you like a really mad face as you leave.
Hi.
So it's like really early in the morning. It's pre-dawn.
Yeah, and here's what's up. Yarder is quiet. Businesses are closed. Oh. Streets are empty. There's no one out right now. You hear the sound of the rivers now. That it's a loud shh sound, just muffling your footsteps along the stone streets. A sound that you didn't even realize was there last night through all the revelry. And it's quiet. The sun is just starting to rise.
Where are we?
We're in the same town. This is what happens when bar towns become... You know, when it goes into the daytime.
Really?
Reminds me of home, to be honest with you.
This is what your home's like, Doran?
Well, in the morning, you can walk around and hear a pin drop in the main halls.
Huh.
And at night, you can't find a place to sit. And it's so noisy, you can't hear yourself think. Well, it was sort of like it was last night, but...
Oh, I'd love to visit your home someday, Doran.
I don't know if you'd actually enjoy it, to be honest with you, Kraloth, but...
What, drinking and feasting late into the night? It sounds incredible.
You never know. It's different how dwarves do it, but...
There's a lot of blood involved, somehow.
Oh.
Regardless, it's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You head down to the docks to find that of all the rest of Yarder, the docks still have some activity. It seems like this being a barge town, barges are being loaded and unloaded, arriving and departing all hours of the day. But this isn't the typical raucous sailor atmosphere. People look hungover. They're moving slowly, kind of. It's kind of got like a late night vibe somehow, but it's first thing in the morning.
Is it still snowy?
I mean, it's still the end of the November analog.
Right,
Uktor. The rotting.
Metal guitar.
So there is some ice that's accumulated around the edges of the riverside, but it's constantly being broken up and churned to ice flows by the boats. People are bundled up in warm weather clothes, but those people who are busy loading and unloading these barges have kind of stripped down to lighter clothes. And yeah, you guys wander the docks looking for someone who you might need to meet with. That's when you spy someone familiar. He looks a little more well-fed than when you last saw him. His clothes are maybe a little more worn, but The shine from the pompadour in the early morning light is unmistakable, and he turns towards you as catches sight of you, and he says, "Isn't it the Nightstone Four?"
Wait a minute.
Darlings! Wonderful to see you.
Shut up, Zulkin! Zulkin! Thanks again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Christopher Ryan Evans, Mitchell Cadwell, Perrin Karisti, Mari Kaniski, Jessica Orrit, Colin Burkhart, Daniel, Doug, Katie Orrit, and Merlin. See you soon!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.